Our scripture today comes from the book of John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I come into this world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of God for the people of God. Well, I just want to say good morning to everybody, and it's a pleasure to be here for my first ever official sermon of my pastor career. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you to all those. Thank you to everyone who encouraged me so far and making this place a second home away from home. I want to say thank you to Margaret for helping me pick the music and plan the music. Thank you to Pastor Derek for being a great mentor to me and for giving up his pulpit one Sunday. And I want to thank you for everyone here, for you have been, again, as I said, creating a second home for me here. And I also want to say thank you for through sitting through this sermon at the same time. As many of you know, or if you're like me, you didn't know, today is Christ the King Sunday. This Sunday has been called by scholars as the culmination of the Christian year, a theological summary, if you will, of the past teachings over the year. So no pressure on me whatsoever. But today, we gather to marvel at the gift of Jesus Christ, of being our King, Messiah, and Savior. But what does it mean to declare Jesus as our King? I know many of you smarties are out there are thinking, well, it all depends on how you define the term King. And to that I say, welcome to how my brain works. For me, the whole of today is centered on the opening two questions of the text. The first, the question Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" This question is written and accounted for in all three of the other Gospels. But this is a loaded question due to the social and political context of what was happening during this time of Roman occupation of Israel-Palestine from 20 to 30 CE. Hopefully the ears of my young adult class are perking up due to our discussion of context and social context and scripture and how they influence each other. Pilate asked this question coming from a Roman context in which declaring someone as king is a direct threat and a direct challenge to the empire and Caesar himself. Jesus knew why Pilate was asking this question, or else his response in verse 34 would have been framed completely different. Jesus could have answered with a retort that would have been equally clever, intelligent, and earth-shattering, like, "Well, duh." But he chose to frame it in such a way that solidifies each theme of the Gospels. Jesus as a masterful teacher. Jesus' response in verse 34, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" is important to note, because the supposed prisoner is controlling the conversation of one who is supposed to be interrogating him. Personally, this verse makes me laugh a little bit. This question reminds me of one of my professors from my undergraduate career. Because we were both fishermen and loved making fishing puns out of everything in Scripture, he called them hook, line, and sinker questions. These kinds of questions are deceptively easy at first, but have numerous implications unbeknownst to the person sharing and answering the question. Like when my mom used to look at me and say, "Are you sure you cleaned your room?" Jesus throws out the bait by asking the question in this way, knowing what Pilate was going to say. Pilate retorts in such a scoffing manner, you can almost hear his condescending laughter. "Ha, ha, 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 I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus entices the bait a little bit more by saying, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate leaps at the comment like an angry catfish, snap, and saying, "Aha, so you are a king." Hearing this, Jesus yanks back and reels him in and saying, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Having been reeled in, Pilate seems to have missed what Jesus was trying to impart to him in this dialogue. Pilate pushes for another confession from Jesus, as was Roman custom of the time to ask three times for a confession, but he does not get one from Jesus. The author of John's Gospel has done a great job to portray Jesus as not only a great teacher, but as a unique revealer who speaks and demonstrates the truth of God. This is what being king means. For Jesus, being king does not mean that he rules over his subjects as Caesar rules all over the entire known world. Jesus presents here in the section of the text that being king is being a witness to the truth of God. Christ the King Sunday is a time of reflection over all that Jesus has taught us this past year, from stories about walking on water to parables about mustard seeds, fig trees, and lost sons to even flipping over tables in the synagogue. But Jesus has been conveying and demonstrating the truth of God to us all. The truth of God in the Gospels is that by proclaiming Jesus as our King, that is Lord of all things, we participate in the kingdom of God, in which conveys the dynamic and saving relationship that God wishes for all people all over the world. By declaring Jesus as King, Lord of all things, we are not only bearing witness to the big ticket items of Scripture we all know too well, be loving, be generous, be humble, but also the little moments in our lives as well. I was sitting in one of my favorite coffee shops, Stir Crazy Cafe, and there was a table of older women sitting in the corner laughing uncontrollably and oh so very loud. Every now and again, there was one of the women who would burst out laughing in this deep, bellowing, very drawn-out laugh, and then the rest of her friends would join her. Naturally, this laugh always came right as I was getting into the groove of writing or reading or whatever I was doing there. Needless to say, I was getting a little bit flustered and very quite angry. So I did what every introvert person would do. I closed my laptop and I stared at them. As the group of women left, the bellowing woman, June, came over to me. An introvert's worst nightmare. Confrontation. She noticed that I was reading and writing for my New Testament class. And she asked me, "Are you studying to be a pastor?" Smiling from ear to ear with big red rosy cheeks. And in that moment, I thought of the hook, line, and sinker questions. If you say yes, you're up the creek. And if you say no, you're still up the creek. I politely said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She smiled even bigger and sat down in the chair diagonal from me. She started talking about her church, her life, and her faith, and so on. And at the end of her journey, she asked me another question. "What does it mean to be a Christian?" And I thought to myself, I am never going to get out of here. But I said to her, very proudly, I might add, "To show God's love to the world and creation through acts of Christian love and try to mirror Jesus Christ every day." I smiled the biggest smile I have in my life. Next thing I knew, her laugh rang the whole room. She said, "You're right, but you forgot one thing." I perked up. I said, "Oh? Please, tell me." She said, "And don't stare." I was so embarrassed. We shook hands and she walked away. As I was sitting there, picking my pride and jaw off the floor, I got to thinking about this passage. Being a part of the kingdom of God is about doing the B's of Scripture that we all know so well, that we've been taught since we were little. Be humble, be loving, and be generous, and so on. But it is also about the small actions in our lives that bear witness to the power and presence of Jesus in our everyday lives. Walking down the street, waving to a stranger, offering a congregant a holy high five, hug, or handshake, or letting someone know that they are loved by God in the midst of struggle. As we transition into the new liturgical year with the coming of Advent next week, and as we prepare for the coming of our King, let us remember that God does not come into this world in the sense that Pilate, or we, for that matter, may think. As New Testament scholar Chet Meyer says, God slips quietly into this world of brutal rulers and hard-pressed refugees. God does not come in with surging trumpets and marching bands of heroic proportions and, to use good biblical imagery, clashing cymbals. God slips quietly into this world in a form of a baby, whose by death and resurrection will become the purveyor of God's grace in this world and will help to usher in the kingdom of God upon the earth. By declaring Jesus as our King, Lord of all things, we bear witness to the truth of God to the world. And friends, more often than not, it is not in the way we think. It is usually a time or place where we least expect it, like an unsuspecting conversation in a coffee shop, or through a time of hardship and pain, or through a baby being born in the most unlikely of places. But in those times of unexpectedness, the most memorable, powerful, and grace-filled moments can happen. Go forth today, bearing witness to the truth of God in the big ticket areas of your life. But also, go forth bearing the same witness into the smaller, more unexpected places in your life. For that is where moments of true grace can be found. Amen.